Monday. Open wide dev fans.
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, node modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development. The hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax on this Monday hasty treat. We're going to be talking about how Wes is able to get internet out in the remote forest lake where he is out at his cottage. We're going to be talking about this is going to be really interesting. It's going to be kind of techie in terms of it's web related, but it's the internet in remote areas and the strategies that Wes is using to get internet. I mean, he's communicating with me live via the internet right now. And it's he's in the middle of the wilderness. So it's pretty awesome. I can't wait to hear a little bit about. I've been following his stories on Instagram. It looks really super fun. My name is Scott Tolinsky. And with me, as always, is Wes Boss joining us from
his cottage. What's up, everybody?
This episode is sponsored by one of our longtime sponsors here at Syntax, is Netlify. Now, Netlify has launched recently a really neat new service that allows you to get analytics straight from the DNS. So that way you have... your Google Analytics, right? Your Google Analytics is a script that's loaded onto a page. When somebody visits your page, it registers a click. Although your Google Analytics is not accurate. Why is it not accurate? Because people block that stuff. People block the trackers. They don't want you snooping on them. So they block all that stuff. This, however, is a little bit different because this information is coming not from a script. It's coming directly from the server itself. So because of that, you get accurate analytics via Netlify. It's really super cool. And I really think it's a totally different approach than we've seen before to analytics. Something that I found to be just really, really, really inventive and amazing. So Netlify, for those of you who don't know, is a hosting company that allows you to host your front-end code, serverless functions, and do all really, really easily with their simple commands and just get up and running in no time. Netlify is one of our favorite hosts and really my personal choice for if I'm hosting any front-end code, it's gone straight to Netlify. You can get up and running for free with Netlify. So head on over to netlify.com/syntax and sign up. Just smash that link. Just smash it and hit over there and you get continuous deployment, global CDNs, HTTPS, and all that for free. Dang, get it now. Go there. Okay, Netlify, what's up? All right, let's get into this remote internet thing. If you can tell, I'm highly caffeinated and I'm ready to hear all about how you're able to, you know, grab that sweet, sweet internet up there in the remote wilderness.
I think it's kind of interesting because us web developers, we really can work from everywhere. I know that not everyone agrees that remote work is the best, and in some cases it doesn't make sense, but it's kind of cool that if you can get internet in a space, you can work from wherever it is that you want. And I've heard from many people when I was researching this to say, like, we had to pass on my dream house because the internet was 2 kilometers out and we just couldn't get it. Like, it seems like getting internet in remote locations is getting much easier and much better, especially in Canada. And I think that's really cool because then us as web developers are able to expand where it is that we want to live. So what my hope is today is to do sort of like a brain dump of absolutely everything I've learned over the last 6 months of doing research into how to get internet. Because my wife and I bought a cottage, which is up near Algonquin Park in Canada, and we're pretty remote. We're 4 hours drive from where I live, and especially where we are, we're on a small little lake. We're probably half an hour out from the closest town where you can go buy gas and groceries and things like that. So before we bought the house, we did make sure that we could at least get a cell phone signal, and then we went ahead and bought the cottage and moved in. Now that we're here, I've done a whole bunch of research as to how to get into it. So first thing is, let's talk about what are some of the options if you live in a remote remote area and need to get internet. So the first and probably the most available one is satellite internet. So if you put a satellite dish, just like a regular TV satellite dish, on your property somewhere, you can ping a satellite and get internet. Now, the speeds that I see of people getting around here is, it seems to be about 5 or 10 megabits down and one up, which is okay. It's not great. And it's really finicky. So if you have a tree that goes in front of it, if it snows on the satellite dish, if it's raining, all of those things, all of those problems that you get with satellite TV also go to your internet. So for nothing but terrible stories about satellite internet, so I decided to just pass on that one. Another option that a lot of people are getting now is what's called local LTE. So not the LTE that you get on your phone, but what's happening is a lot of small internet providers are putting up towers that will cast a, I don't know, 5-10 kilometer radius around it. And there's even options where you can pay $20,000 and get a tower on your land, and then your neighbors pay you, and you sort of make your money back double in 5-10 years, which is kind of cool. And that's using, in Canada at least, we have this 3.5 gigahertz spectrum that went up for auction in the last couple of years, and that spectrum is now being used by companies to do the sort of local LTE. So that's cool. It's just not an option where I live or where we have our cottage as well, just because there is no local LTE tower that anyone has put up in our area in order for us to get that. So we're just not within range. So that's pretty popular in like small towns where maybe there's just like a bunch of farms and sort of a town, and someone will throw up a tower and broadcast LTE out to them. Other options are line of sight. So if you live somewhere remote, but you do have access to somewhere that does have fast internet, you can get these like parabolic satellite dishes that you can beam a signal from one to another. And if you actually go on YouTube and check out Deadmau5 5's house tour, it's pretty unreal, because Deadmau5 lives in Canada, but he moved, I think, like, I forget where it is, but north of Milton. And he wanted fast internet. It just wasn't available where he was. So he put up this massive tower and just beaming in the internet from the closest city. And because of the way where he lived, sort of on a hill, he was able to get line of sight directly to it. That, again, was not an option for me, because where we live is called Hastings Highlands. So it's very mountainous where we live. So there was no direct line of sight to that I could even like put up a tower in the city and beam it in. So I looked into that just for fun's sake, but it wasn't an option. What we did end up going with was just regular LTE. So we do get very good cell connection up here, or okay cell connection. I'll talk to you about it. And by getting a decent cell connection where we are, you can actually get internet over that. So I'll talk about the plans and the data and the speed and all that in just a second, but I'm going to dive now into modems and routers. So if you want to use your cell carrier or one of the cell carriers as an internet provider, there's a couple things that you need. So first is you need a modem that takes a SIM card, and you need like a router, obviously. So most of the things that you can buy are modems and routers in one. The one that I settled on, and this is mostly because it's one of the best ones I found, and I found it super cheap, unlocked online. It's the ZTE MF288. I'll put all the links to this in the show notes. It has a battery in it, so you can actually just like take it with you on the road if you wanted to do that. And it came unlocked, which is cool, because I've been testing a bunch of SIM cards from different providers where I am. Other modems in this area are the Netgear LB1120. Really popular in this space is Mophie. At mophienetwork.com. This is really big. I did a lot of like YouTube research, and surprisingly, all of the research comes from like the RVing community, where people just go off and live in an RV for their entire life, and they need internet wherever it is that they are. So Mophie makes a really good one that is it actually runs on OpenWRT, which is that like custom router firmware.
Mm.
Which is pretty nifty.
Custom router firmware kind of scares me.
Oh, really? No, it's pretty popular. Easy. Like, do you remember like Tomato firmware for your router, or
I've never messed with my router ever. I've always just rented a router from the cable company, and I mean, now we're on fiber, but I've always just rented the router and plugged it in and not thought about it.
Oh, man. No, I've run like custom firmware on my routers for a long time.
Interesting.
It's cool because like if you want to get, I also went to school for telecom, so I know a little bit about this stuff. But if you do want to get into that, you can because it's hackable and they don't sort of limit what you can do. I did find that the Mophie router is just this like no name brand. It's a ZBTWE826T, which I don't know if that means anything to you, but if you want, you can actually just buy that yourself and build it up yourself. So you can get a modem card, slap it in there for a SIM, and then you can also load DDWRT on it. I don't know if that's really something I want to do myself, but I ended up with the ZTE MF288, and it works great. Now, one little thing that happened was when I tested the speed before we bought it is that my phone connected to, there's two carriers in Canada, Rogers and Bell, and my phone connected to a Bell tower just because where we live, there was no Rogers reception. And I assumed that it connected to the Rogers tower and it didn't. So I realized like we're going to need some antennas here in order to get the fastest speed possible. So jeez, when we turn this thing on,
this is we serious. Got, when we got, you're getting into antenna, I saw those antennas you were installing too. They're serious business.
They're huge.
Yeah, they're big.
Because we turned it on and there's zero bupkis, nothing, zero signal, bupkis. And I was like, oh no, like this is awful because the carrier I wanted to use goes through Rogers, not through Bell. So I was like, okay. And like our own cell phones weren't even getting connection if we didn't connect to the Bell tower as well. So I did a bunch of research into it and there's two types of antennas. You can get an omni antenna, which is omnidirectional. It's just something you throw up in the air and it sort of looks for signal on all ends. And then there's directional antennas, which you point directly at the cell tower. So omni's easier, directional is better. So I went with directional and I ended up getting these things called Yagi antennas. They're made by Wilson Electronics, but Yagi is the type of antenna and you run two of them. You run one horizontal and one vertical or you just run them in 45 degrees from each other or 90 degrees, I guess. And what that will do is it will get all of the signals, whether they're horizontal or vertical. I don't really understand how frequencies work, but you're supposed to mount them like that. So we got these and we plugged the antennas directly into the router. So you take off the tiny little plastic ones that they come with and you plug these ones in. I sat my brother-in-law up on the roof just to hold it up in the air. And then we used an app called Open Signal, and that will tell you exactly which direction is the cell tower of where you should be pointing it. And we lucked out because where we wanted to mount it was a break in the trees, it's about 5 kilometers away. And we mounted it directly to it, plugged it in, and we went from no signal at all to three out of four bars, which is it's not amazing signal, but it was certainly much, much better than absolutely nothing. So we plugged that in, and right off the bat, we were getting 15, 20, 25 megabits down and 12, 15 megabits up, which is for some people, that's awful. But
for
that's
me,
certainly,
that's awful. Yeah.
But a lot of people are messaging me being like, that's better than anywhere in Britain that we're getting. So certainly faster upload speed than I even can buy at my own home. And then the download speed, I get up to 30 megabits down, which is way more than you need about like 2 or 3 to watch an HD YouTube video. So certainly more than we could possibly need. Other things in this area are what are called cell phone boosters. So the cottage we have also has a metal roof, which is not good for cell signal because it just blocks it. So you can get these little things called boosters where you throw a Yagi antenna up in the air and then it
do you
will...
Do like literally you throw it in the air? Like you
throw it up in the air. Well, you screw it to something nice and high.
Yeah.
Although not too high because the longer the cable, the more frequencies you lose or the more the dBm. Yeah. So you want... There's sort of like a... I went with a 30-foot cable. which was long enough, thankfully. So these boosters, they take in a signal, they boost it, and then they rebroadcast it inside the house. And I have one of those. We just ended up not using it just because of how well the current one worked with us. So that's another option for people. If you're getting low cell signal, LTE signal, you can just throw one of those up and rebroadcast inside the house. That would be even helpful if you just have like a basement apartment, something like that, and you want to get better reception. Let's talk about plans, data, and speeds. So we talked about the speed that I got. The plan, I've tried a whole bunch of them. In Canada, all of the major cell phone carriers offer just like a data-only SIM card, and they're decent. It tends to be about, I don't know, $3 per gig, which is not decent at all. It's actually robbery.
Yeah.
But like
actually robbery.
I was doing the math and I was like, we'll probably spend like $200 or $300 a month if we need to like do a couple hundred gigs of we stop watching Netflix, things like that. But if we're just doing our regular Instagram, I'm doing video chat with you right now.
Yeah, I wonder how much this is costing. Yeah.
Kind of the cost of doing business. So I did that. But then I also tried, this is in Canada, you can get like, I went to the States and eBay and bought both AT&T and Google Fi SIM cards that have roaming data enabled on them. And I'm currently testing those right now. The AT&T one is working really well. This is what I'm on right now, which is so bizarre that it's cheaper to go to the States, buy a SIM card and bring it back into Canada and operate on roaming. And then it is just to buy a local SIM card for data only. That seems to be, AT&T seems to be the, if you're in the States, that seems to be what everybody is using in the sort of LTE community. And they do offer, there's a couple things out there. Some people buy an iPad SIM and use that. Some people buy, if you go on eBay, you can find these connected car SIM cards that you take out of your car and put it into your modem. There's also some resellers of unlimited data plans via AT&T. So I've used 80 gig so far and it hasn't been throttled. It's not perfect. It does go out every now and then. I haven't been able to pinpoint why. Traffic on port 80 is sometimes blocked because it thinks it's not a phone or something like that. I'm not totally sure why. But port 80, I was surprised, almost nothing runs on port 80 anymore because everything is SSL. So that's not a huge problem. You can use a VPN as well if you want to get around that. I've had to jump on a VPN a couple times. But so carriers, I'm still testing it out. I might have to jump back to one of the Canadian carriers if things go south. That's totally fine. But just know that if you can get an LTE signal, there are some decent ones out there, especially in rural areas, because the throttling that these companies do after you hit however many gigs they allow you, the throttling is not like immediate. It's only they put you at the end of the line. So if there's other people using the tower, they get priority over you. And if you're in a rural area, it's not like you're at a football game where there's thousands of people. There might only be 100 people in like a square 10 kilometers, something like that. So I don't think it's that much of an issue for people who live in rural areas. So something to think about. I'm still testing them out. I have this, like, I feel like a drug dealer because I have an old iPhone and a bag of SIM cards from all the carriers and I'm just like testing them out. And if someone were to like, yeah, it looks like a burner phone with all these different SIM cards. Like I'm trying to sell drugs or like do SMS jacking or something like that.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
I'm spending a little bit of money on a bunch of different plans just to test it out. Cause like this is my dream to be able to work from a cottage and have internet. And, there's no like good solution. Everybody here uses Bell and it's like capped at 5 megabits down and it does one up and like,
yeah,
that's
and
not
good luck doing.
Yeah.
Work
and
on
you
the
get like,
with that.
You get like 10 gigs a month or something silly like that. I'm like, come on. Like there is some stuff like the CRTC, which is like the regulatory body in Canada. They are forcing and working with the big telecoms to be able to give internet to rural residents.
That's another word I can't say. Rural.
But it's kind of a joke, though. They're like, they always have these press conferences and they're like, we're bringing internet to everybody. And then you look at it and they're screwing you on the cost and the speeds. And it, once you look into the actual details, it's not a good deal very much at all. So I'm very much looking forward to Google's satellite internet, which is supposed to be lower level satellites that they're going to launch all around the world. And then you'll be able to get high speed anywhere, which is...
Aren't they balloon based, or am I making that up?
I remember hearing they have balloon ones that they could throw up, like if there's like a natural disaster, they could launch
that's
one.
Maybe what I'm thinking
but they're also launching just satellites, low orbiting satellites, which is pretty cool. So I can't wait for that to come out as well. But I don't know. I'm 2 weeks in on this and it's been working great. I'm pretty happy with it. Other things to think about I have here is that the static IP is not almost never available. So if you need like an IP for your computer, then you probably have to go a different solution. Or I've heard of people paying extra for a static IP, an IP address that doesn't change for your router. But that's never been, we've got cameras and things like that, security cameras, all of these things. I don't need a static IP. And even if you do, you just use something like DDNS, dynamic DNS, where you can get like a domain name for your computer and then just port forward that to wherever it is that you want.
Man, networking, this is something I have no experience in. It's like blowing my mind, all of these things that I don't know here.
It's really interesting stuff when you can get into it and figure it all out. I've got a bunch of the Ubiquiti gear here as well, which I haven't hooked up yet. But the idea is that I'll have like a mesh network in the cottage so that we get access everywhere. And then they sent me a bunch of cameras as well, which I'm going to hopefully install so we can check on the place when we're not here.
Man, we're going to have to do our home automation part two episode.
Yeah.
Because there's so much stuff that has changed.
I've changed so much stuff. I love this kind of stuff. It's not intentionally developer related, but I think it has 100% overlap in the interests of developers.
Totally.
It's fun to tinker with this stuff. So that's it. Hopefully that answers any questions that you have. I know I've got hundreds of DMs on Instagram from people saying like, oh, like, I want to move remote, or I'm living in a tiny house, or our internet situation sucks right now, and I can barely do a Skype with my coworkers, and I need something better. So hopefully that helps you out. I'd love to hear any other tips that you have. Just tweet them at me. I'm at WestBoss.
Yeah, cool, man. Well, this is really, really fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, the world is a changing. So I've also got my fair share of like people being like, you should probably just relax at the cottage and not like have high speed internet in
but
the
woods.
But if
you're going to be there and you're working, I mean, it's like.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, they don't understand that like trying to like craft my life in a way where I can enjoy my family, but also be like work at the same time because we have to pay for all of the stuff. And yeah. I enjoy creating stuff. Like it feels really good just to sit down. I haven't been on my computer for like 2 weeks and I sat down today and I was like, oh, it feels good. I like being able to sit down and create stuff as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It was another thing too. What happened to me, I did something and it was like a Sunday. I tweeted out that I had gotten a lot of Redux errors on Sunday. And people were like, it's Sunday, you should just relax. I'm like, listen, like 9 to 5, I don't work 9 to 5. You got to find the times that you can. But also, I just like it. I like working on this stuff sometimes. And like if Landon's taking a nap, like, work out in the yard. Yeah, sure. I'm going to do that too. But I also sometimes just want to, you know, work on some stuff that's non-work related. Like I was just, it was like a side fun little project. And like, that's where it's at. So yeah.
Totally. Yeah, just you do you.
You do you.
Well, with that, I'm actually going to take my girls fishing.
Nice. I'm man,
go,
I'm TJ.
Go catch some
so
dinner,
jealous.
Maybe. Yeah, TJ-ing.
TJ-ing.
Cool. Well, thanks for tuning in. I think this episode is long enough, and we'll catch you on Wednesday. Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.